Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host, and I'd like to invite you to stay with me for the next 30 minutes, because this next 30 minutes could be some of the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, heard every week on this radio station, brought to you simply by the grace of God, because you never hear us trying to sell anything. We're never asking you for money. We're just trying to give you something, and that is accurate content. Matter of fact, this is one of the few radio shows where it's not the speaker that's important, it's the message that's important. My job is to just get it accurate, help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, and so that in the privacy of your soul, if you'd like to orient and adjust to the plan, you certainly have the freedom to do so. Our show is simply short biblical principles, short biblical concepts that we put together called the 10 problem-solving devices. This is not some sort of useless speculation now. This is accurate information. And this is not something new. This is not something you've never heard before. This is the Word of God. You know what it is. I've just organized it in a way that my pastor taught it to me years ago, under 10 unique problem-solving devices. And when you learn these and use them, what you're essentially doing is deploying these problem-solving devices to the forward compartments of your soul so that you keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. And you must learn the Word of God, and you must, I repeat, if you're going to live a successful Christian life, if you're going to have an impact for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to learn the mechanics of the Christian life. Most people don't know the mechanics, and when you talk about the spiritual life, sometimes they don't know when it starts or how it operates or what it's even all about. Do you? Do you know that your spiritual life starts the minute you're born again, as per John chapter 3? And do you know that your spiritual life is powered by the Holy Spirit and fueled by the Word of God? And do you know that you're told in the Bible to grow spiritually in 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Timothy 2:15 and many, many, many passages where we are mandated by God the Father to grow up? One of the neatest passages is Hebrews 5:11, where Christians have not grown up and are told by the writer of Hebrews that they're still babies when they ought to be teaching other people. And it is possible as a believer in Jesus Christ that you or I, that we haven't grown to spiritual maturity, and that's our objective. And so these radio shows, I hope they will let you see what it means to grow spiritually without the gimmicks, without the games, without all the ranting, without all the raving. Matter of fact, you notice we don't even have music. I don't have any choir singing, nobody trying to make appealing, soft, sweet noises to you here. We're just trying to give you accurate information. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to write to me, you feel free to do so. Simply write Rick Hughes, and then our address is Post Office Box 100. The city is Cropwell, Alabama. That's Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. And the zip code is 35054. 35054. Or you could go to the internet, and if you would type in your web browser, www.bigrick.org, bigrick.org, then you will see our website, and you can always email us from the website. These radio shows that I do are simply one of the veins of the ministry that God the Father has allowed me to be involved in during the last 40 years. And I thank you very much for listening today. If you were with me last week, we started a study called The Doctrine of the Mind. And we got into that study because we were talking about unfair circumstances in life and how when these circumstances hit you, you can react or respond. And I told you last week that unfair circumstances can come from weather or whatever can come from authority. These unfair things, either it's some sort of circumstances like a flood hits you and your house is swept away and you may say, I don't deserve this. Why did God let this happen to me? This is not fair. Or maybe it could be some sort of military situation where one of your members of your family is placed into the war or maybe even gives their life in defense of freedom, which is the highest honor any American could ever do for his country and his friends. The Bible even clearly says, what greater love does a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friends? So I'm not saying the things that happen to us are always fair. What I'm saying is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a way to handle even the unfair. Whether it comes from people who have authority over you or the circumstances that you find yourself involved in. So whatever way the suffering comes, it all must be answered in your mind. And that's why we started into the doctrine of the mind. And I showed you last week that God has given all of us a mind, and it's in two parts. We have what the New Testament calls a nous, or a mind, and we have a heart, or cardia. That's the Greek word for the heart. And the nous is where we receive that information, and when it comes in, like if you go to church and you listen to your pastor teach the Bible, that's called gnosis. That is information you learn. But until it becomes epignosis, and there's another word in the Greek New Testament for knowledge, two different words for knowledge, gnosis knowledge and epignosis knowledge. And the difference is knowledge learned and knowledge applied. And so the heart is where the epignosis takes place. That's where the memory center is. That's where the recall system is. And this is when you learn the Word of God and believe it and apply it into your life. It winds up in the heart and the wisdom compartment of the soul. And this is what God looks at when He wants to check you out. He's going to look at your heart. Remember Revelation 2:23, I am He who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your production. Don't forget that. And remember this, that we must recall the Word of God having learned it. Listen to Lamentation 3:21. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have confidence. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Now, after we went into this study last week, we moved into five objectives of Satan. And we saw that his number one objective, listed in five different ways, was to reclaim your affections. Satan seeks to reclaim your affections in 1 John 2:15. And this is where the Bible tells us we're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. And then number two, he seeks to recapture your thoughts. This is your mind again. Where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then we saw where Satan seeks to redirect your focus. In other words, to get your eyes off of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are seen not, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen not are eternal. And if any believer is going to have any momentum in his spiritual life, he must keep his focus. He must not allow his thoughts to be recaptured by thinking about the details in life, and he must not lose his affections or his personal love for the Father. Your personal love for God is what motivates you to be the man or the woman that you are. And the fourth thing that I told you last week Satan would seek to do would be to redefine your values, as per Matthew 6:19-20, where the Bible tells us to lay not up for ourselves treasures upon this earth. And then lastly, I told you he would try to reorder your priorities. And you have a mandate from the Father in Matthew 6:33 to always keep first priority number one, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, we want to continue this study on the doctrine of the mind. You probably never heard this in a church service, but this is all biblical. This is all scripture, because in the mind is where you live your spiritual life. You may have a thought that turns into an attitude that comes out as an action, but everything starts in the thoughts. Now, the action may be you're in church and you're singing in the choir, but the thought was, I think it's time to get up and go to church. And then the attitude was positive volition, saying, yes, I will. So everything that you do starts with a thought. And that's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So we have been given some principles on the doctrine of the mind. And I have given you four principles so far. Number one, the believer in Jesus Christ. For the believer in Jesus Christ, it's spiritual IQ that outweighs human IQ. And spiritual IQ is the Word of God and how much of it you know. So I said, number one, for the believer in Jesus Christ, spiritual IQ outweighs human IQ. Number two, I told you that spiritual IQ comes from equal privilege and equal opportunity, meaning that we have the privilege to receive Christ as our Savior and the opportunity to take God's Word and learn it and use it. And then I said, number three, as goes your thought life, so goes your spiritual life. And then I said, number four, the objectives of Satan, and there were five of them, and I just gave them to you. And number five, now point number five, God mandates you to think divine viewpoint, which is called the mind of Christ. Divine viewpoint, which is called the mind of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, who has known the mind of the Lord, and who will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Bible, the canon of Scripture, is the mind of Christ. And when you learn the Word of God, then you are doing what Philippians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7 tells you to do. There, you're told to put on the mind of Christ. You're told to think like Christ thought. The Bible actually says in Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And then it says that he had a humility profile where he humbled himself, quote, the humility profile. You cannot learn the Word of God without some humility. And therefore, you must be humble enough to sit under the authority of a pastor who can teach you God's Word. The profile of Satan is arrogance. He rejected God's Word, rejected God's plan, and was successful in getting Eve to reject the Word of God as well. God mandates you to think divine viewpoint. Point five, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And a divine viewpoint is simply a perspective of life that's based on the infallibility of the Word of God, the infallible Scriptures. Point six, under the doctrine of the mind. God can read your mind like an open book. That might be a little scary to you, so let's say it again. God can read your mind like an open book. Hebrews 4:13, there is not a creature hidden before him, but all things are bare, and having been exposed to the eyes of him whom our account is given. So even if you go in the room and you shut the curtains and you turn the lights off, and you get in the bed and you pull the cover up over your head, does God still know your fears and your doubts and your lust? The answer is yes. He can read your mind like an open book. So this should tell you something. Don't play games with God. You will get burned when you play games with God. Hebrews 12:27-28 says we need to serve God with respect and caution because our God is a consuming fire. This doesn't mean that you should never sin. You are plagued with a genetically formed sin nature, and you're going to sin. God knows that, and that's why he gives us the rebound technique to confess our sin. and to be purified from our wrongdoing. But it is the attitude of trying to pull the wool over God's eyes, the attitude of trying to manipulate God with some emotional appeal. God doesn't play that game. He can read your mind like an open book. Point 7. God holds us responsible for what we think or what we choose, and so our thinking is very, very important. This is clearly seen in Proverbs 23:7, that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And remember, the Bible says in Hosea 8, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. In Hosea chapter 4, the nation Israel went under the fifth cycle of discipline from God. And the prophet Hosea pronounced why. He said in 4:6, there is no knowledge of God in the land. What do you think that is? That is people that were being held responsible for what they chose to think. And they did not think in terms of divine viewpoint. They thought in terms of human viewpoint, and they worshiped other gods, and they walked away. They walked away from their God. What is in your mind today? What do you think 24/7? What do you get occupied with? It's very important that you understand the key to the spiritual life is what you think. Point 8. The Bible always relates thought patterns to the heart. The Bible always relates thought patterns to the heart, to the mentality of the soul, because this is where God's Word is applied to the experiences that we face in our life every day. And so the patterns of the heart, I guess if I had to list them for you, I would list them for you like this. This would be an x-ray of your thought pattern spiritually. If we put you on the MRI machine and ran this thing to your brain and let everybody see your spiritual IQ, this is what we would see. We would see your frame of reference. We would see your frame of reference. This is where you retain the word that you've learned. So would you say there's 100 cc's of Bible doctrine in your frame of reference, or would you say there are 10 cc's there? I remember talking one time to a fellow in a Sunday school class, and we were talking scripture, and he says, I'm not gifted to quote scripture like you. You see, he was talking to the dumbest guy in town. I'm not gifted to quote anything. If I could quote a scripture, it was because I learned the scripture. And that was an easy way to justify himself by saying, I don't know what you know, by claiming that it was some kind of gift. The area of retention is only filled up as you learn God's Word. There's no other way to fill it up. That's why Jeremiah said, I found your Word and I ate it. It nourished me. The psalmist talks about that as well. The frame of reference, and also you have a memory center. And this is where the recall comes from. Remember Lamentations, this I recall to mind. You have an area of recall called the memory center. And so when someone mentions something to you that may, say someone mentioned justification to you, or someone mentioned sanctification to you, your mind would back up to the area of retention and you would recall the doctrine that you learned about that. If in fact you learned it, and if you didn't learn it, it's blank. There's nothing there to recall. So it's not going to help you, is it? So you're going to have to go to someone else and say, well, teach me what that means, or tell me what that means. And the worst thing you could ever do is not to have any recall of Scripture and then have to go to someone else to get your answers. How does that glorify God? It does not. Not only is there a frame of reference and a memory center, but there's also in your mind a vocabulary storage, because you express yourself by what you think. So when you talk, what's in your mind comes out. If you don't have some vocabulary, you don't understand it. Now, maybe you know that I love to bass fish, and I enjoy fishing quite a bit. It's a passion, but it's just not my priority. And I'm very fortunate to fish out of a wonderful Z9 Nitro Bass Boat powered by 250 Mercury Pro Max. This is part of the Tracker Marine Bass Pro Shop support that I get. And guess what? When I'm fishing, I have to know certain technical vocabulary. I have to know if they're biting a Carolina rig or biting a chatterbait. Or are they biting a crankbait? Are they biting a spinnerbait, a willow leaf, or a Colorado blade? Are they biting a jig? Are they biting a tube? If you don't know the vocabulary, and some guy tells you, Big Rick, they're hot today on a buzzbait. Well, if I don't know what a buzzbait is, how can I catch them? I got to know vocabulary. And it's the same thing in the spiritual life. There's vocabulary that you have to learn, or you cannot express yourself. There's also categorical storage in your heart. And this is where you prioritize certain doctrines, like the doctrine of salvation, or the doctrine of spirituality, or the doctrine of the mind, like we're talking about today. And there is in your heart a conscience. And this is your area of strength. This is what is trained when you're a young child by your parents, giving you norms and standards. All of this is part of your heart. The patterns of your heart, having a frame of reference, a memory center, vocabulary storage, categorical storage, and conscience. All of these give you momentum in your spiritual life and give you great wisdom. This is all part of the heart. And I'm not making this up. This is all in the Word of God. And so, point 9, our approach to life and the effectiveness of our spiritual life is depending on what we think. I'm going to say it again. Our approach to life and the effectiveness of our spiritual life is dependent on what we think. So you could think, I'm worried sick. Oh, my daughter's flying to Italy today. Or, oh, my son's driving to California. I'm worried something may happen to him. There is a connection between physical health and thought patterns. You know that. Any mental attitude of fear or worry or some sort of anxiety or continuous mental tension will eventually overflow and affect your body. It's called psychosomatic illnesses. And it's common for people to suffer from ailments such as eczema or skin rash, allergies, asthma, hypertension, ulcers, and even other disorders that overflow from pressure of the mind to the body. That's why I'm telling you that adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. As you learn the 10 problem-solving devices and operate in your spiritual life behind the wall of fire that God has set up for you, call that flatline, then you can have great peace and great happiness in the middle of great adversity. You see, sometimes when the mental attitude is stabilized, the symptoms are even removed. But physiological problems can be related to your thought process. There's no doubt about that. Doctors will tell you that. But when your heart, or the right lobe of your soul, that memory center, that things that I just gave you a moment ago, I'm not going to go through them again. When they are revolving around divine viewpoint, the one thing you're going to have is a relaxed mental attitude. You're going to have inner peace and inner happiness. You're not going to have psychosomatic illnesses. You're not going to have physiological problems because you are at rest and peace. But when you think in terms of human viewpoint, or you get involved in some sort of mental attitude sin like worry or fear, even jealousy or bitterness or guilt, well, the result is always going to be self-pity, self-induced misery. You're going to fill your life up with self-induced misery and even possibly make yourself sick with physical symptoms because you did not live the spiritual life that God intended for you to live. And don't you for one minute think that Satan's not getting a good laugh at you wearing yourself sick. Here's the 10th point in the doctrine of the mind. While there are many different attitudes, there are only two basic viewpoints in life. The first one is divine viewpoint, thinking like God thinks. Divine viewpoint, and oh, by the way, Isaiah 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So if you're going to learn to think like God thinks, the first thing you got to get rid of is the way you think. He doesn't think like you think. Let me tell you a little shocker. God doesn't think in terms of emotions. Oh, you do. Oh, yes, you do. But not God. God doesn't change his mind based on emotions like you do. He never gets emotional. So there is divine viewpoint, and there is another way of thinking. Many different attitudes, but only two basic viewpoints in life. You should know the other one, divine viewpoint and human viewpoint. That's the philosophy of the cosmos diabolicus, the world according to Satan. All the norms and the standards that Satan throws about and what people talk about. What is the cosmos diabolicus anyhow? Well, it's Satan's orderly, cohesive, multifaceted system of thinking, which includes a purpose and a policy, even a structure of authority, that everything about it is designed to subvert the human race and gain control of the world that he now rules. Because he doesn't want to go to the lake of fire, and he's going to use you to try to get out of it if he can. The tactics that Satan has are diverse, but they all express one strategy. And that strategy is to encourage human arrogance and sponsor human antagonism to God. Listen to the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the last days or the latter times, some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. In 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. And you cannot be partners of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And the Bible mandates us in Ephesians 6:11 to stand against the strategy of Satan. And in Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. So here's a principle. Point 12. Since the devil cannot indwell you, he will attack your thoughts and your minds. And he will use demons to do this, to expedite his plan, to infiltrate our thoughts with human viewpoint and neutralize us in the angelic conflict. And that's why the Bible tells you in Ephesians 6:11, put on the helmet of salvation. That's eternal security. Human viewpoint thinking is a river of lie, and divine viewpoint thinking is the river of truth. And they collide, they collide in history with catastrophic consequences. Human viewpoint and divine viewpoint collide in history with catastrophic consequences. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap it up now. But I think we'll continue this next week if you'd like to come back. And oh, by the way, if you'd like to have copies of this show, we can always send you a CD or an MP3, basically, of these shows. Simply write to us as the announcer tells you. There is no charge ever. So thank you for joining me. And it is my prayer that you will continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, saying thanks for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.